Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Seychelle Van Poole.
And I'm Via Williams. Are you hitting your ceiling in any areas of your life? Like, have you ever noticed that when things are going really well in one area, say maybe health or finances or relationships, something happens to make it short-lived?
Yes.
You ever notice that?
I have noticed that.
Yeah, like maybe you lose weight, you get healthy, and then like you work out so hard, you injure yourself, knock yourself off the wagon, and gain your weight back.
Yeah.
Which may be my story. But anyway, very specific there. But, you know, sometimes with a lot of people, like you get to a point where you're financially secure, you know, only to get hit with, say, like an economic event where you find yourself back where you started. Like I've heard stories of people who, you know, got $25,000 and then like the next day they get this surprise bill for $23,000 or something crazy, right? But whatever it is, you know, you find yourself just not being able to get past a ceiling, you know, like a peak, right? Sometimes this example is when you've hit a milestone, like you've been seeking something for a while and then you finally get there and you're like, kind of anticlimactic, like, it's fine, whatever, you know, whatever. Okay, so all of these things are most likely related, and there is a name for it. And this is something I've learned in the last few weeks, and it has been mind-blowing to me. And the explanation to all of these things is that you could have an upper limit problem. You could have an upper limit problem. Gay Hendricks coined this term in his book, The Big Leap, which I have recently read. And it is, the book itself is good. It's fine. The concept is mind-blowing. The concept of an upper limit problem has been, I think, one of the most important things I've learned this year, for sure. And so I wanted to walk through it today and talk about what it is, how you are almost likely hitting it in at least one aspect of your life, if not more, and what to do about it. Because for me, it even in a two-week period, I've already started transforming on this. Like, it has already made an impact on me.
That's fascinating.
It was such a big deal.
When you brought this up, Via, my mind immediately went to, like, what, like, yes, I know we all have, like, mindset challenges or limiting beliefs or things that hold us back, but I've never heard it discussed in this way. So I would love it if you can describe for our listeners and our viewers. Hi, Diane. If you can describe what it actually is, because I found my brain going in a bunch of different directions when you first brought this up, and it's really compelling. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So here, exactly. So here is what an upper limit problem is. An upper limit problem is like an inner thermostat setting, and it determines how much success we allow ourselves to enjoy in various areas of our lives. So what the premise is that we subconsciously want to stay in our safe and comfort zone, right? And we don't want to go above that. We're not aware of it usually, though. So what happens with our upper limit is that we cap how much happiness or success we'll allow ourselves. We give ourselves peaks of achievement. And then what happens is when we hit it, we find ways to ratchet ourselves down to our comfort zone. We don't allow ourselves to stay there. And so we keep bouncing down on this ceiling. So it could be a financial ceiling, a weight ceiling, a health ceiling, right? Have you guys ever tried to lose weight and or you're kind of in a heavy mode for those of you who have weight issues like I do, and you kind of find no matter how much you eat, you end up at about the same weight? Have you ever experienced that, say? I don't know if that's just me or...
Yeah, I mean, I added, I call them my COVID love pounds. They're probably really my COVID stress pounds, but we'll call them my COVID love pounds. And like, I usually hover, like we've talked about on the podcast before, like I kind of have like a 5 up or down, like pound limit that I get to. And over the last 2 years, that's expanded a little bit more than I would like. And it's surprisingly harder for me to get that back off right now than it normally is. But it's also because I'll like lose a couple pounds and then I'll eat like a brownie for breakfast when I shouldn't do that.
Weight's a weird example because like it's going backwards, it's going down. But if you think of a lower weight would be an upper limit problem, which is a little confusing to the brain.
No, that makes sense.
But yeah. And so, you know, but that's a good example, because what happens is we get to our set weight and it is really mm-hmm. hard to go below that weight, right?
Yeah.
That's what an upper limit problem yeah. is. So it's like a warning system that tells us you can only achieve a certain amount of happiness, success, wealth, mm-hmm. you know, love, whatever it is. And we create ways to drift or to shock ourselves back to stress, conflict, stagnation, and drama, whatever it takes to go back to that comfort mm-hmm. zone. And most of the time we're unaware of it. And side note, many times the drama, stress, conflict is actually happening in an unrelated part of our lives. Example, you are seeking a love partner and you finally meet the love of your life and you're super happy, and you simultaneously start racking up debt and creating conflict in another area of your life. But, you know, really what could be happening is you've just hit an upper limit problem. Like, I couldn't possibly be this happy. This isn't going to last. The other shoe's going to drop, right?
Yeah.
And so you hit this limit and you subconsciously in other areas are sabotaging it. And it is a fascinating premise that I think is probably pervasive and more pervasive, right, than any of us think. Because I mm-hmm. think that, say, especially at, like, we pride ourselves, like, we are big thinkers. Like,
yeah.
we fight through limiting beliefs and, you know, all of this great stuff that I think is true. And so I think that, like, the awareness when my coach told me, I'll tell you the story in a second,
yeah.
but when it happened to me, my coach called me out on that, I just burst out crying. Because I was like, well, I define myself by being the person that bursts through limits and
yeah.
ceilings and, you know, whatever, ceilings of achievement. Like, I can't be that person that has an upper limit problem. And you know what? I am. I'm human. We all are. We all have mm-hmm. these, you know, self-imposed, subconscious ceilings, right? Mm. It is really like a thermostat. Like, you know, 70 degrees is my setting. And to get to 72 huh. and have that as your new ceiling is really, as it turns out, probably harder than you think.
Yeah. I believe yeah. that, you know, I can see this being true in so many ways. And I don't even think we realize it. Like, as we started talking about this topic, there are so many different instances myself where I'm having that kind of, you know, aha myself, where we do think of ourselves as big thinkers. And the reality is that we subconsciously do this probably a lot more than we even realize that we do. You know, and I think about, for me, we had when I was 20, I set a goal to be able to be financially, like, free is probably the wrong word, but financially able to, like, you know, choose to go to work instead of needing to go to work if I needed to by the time I was 40. And I turned 40 this year. And I set a number on that. And we'll be very close to that number this year. But the interesting part is as we're looking now to grow above that, where work is becoming a choice, all of these different, like, hidden expenses are showing up as a
yeah.
way to keep me at that number, or to keep us at that number, which is really interesting. And I'm having to really push through to reset what our next goal is and where we want to go next, because I'm realizing that I'm not where I, you know, I'm not there. I thought, like, oh, at 40, I'll be there, right? And when you're 20, that sounds like a really long ways away. And then you realize 40 is not old at all. And you have so much farther to go. And yes, we're marginally babies. And I'm really having to push through redefining what success looks like in that term, redefining what happiness will look like in that term. And I'm finding myself feeling sabotaged in this mindset of, like, can you have a big business and a big life at the same time, and having to really push through that, like, hard
yeah,
right
totally.
Now.
And going back to that, you know, I think there's a lot to unpack with that, with your financial freedom number by 40. Number one, there's this, you know, interesting concept of, you've been telling yourself that for 10 or 15
yes.
years.
Yeah.
And it came true, which is cool. And
it is
also,
cool.
you know, we do over time, I mean, if you speak and write goals over and over again, usually hit them. And so mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting thing to that. But number two, that is the perfect example to me, where all of a sudden you're sitting here going, oh my gosh, we are ratcheting back, like, we're calibrating back to that number no matter what happens.
Yeah.
That, my friend, is an upper limit problem.
That is an upper limit problem for me.
And I think you have to watch that it doesn't, you know, the sabotage doesn't come from different areas of your life, which is what, you know, what often happens, like we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I am, as you know, I've been pretty open about it, I think, on the podcast. But, you know, I've had the most probably insane year from a work and career and wealth building perspective than I've ever had. I took on too much. I'll fully admit it. And it was inadvertent. I sort of kind of agreed in a staggered way to make a bunch of career moves and a bunch of wealth building moves, like formed an investment company, you know, training for this marathon. I sort of made these staggered decisions. And what happened inadvertently is they all launched at the same time. And so, you know, everybody's been in my world has been a little bit of a victim of this, you know, meaning like I've been really tough this year. I just, there are not enough hours in the day and I'm aware of it. I am aware of that part of it, but you know, we probably hit a peak in the last month where things are starting to move from formation into like some element of, okay, like the launch phase is over. I can, you know, there's a little bit, there might be an hour or two now left in a day for some of these things. And, you know, and I'm still in a almost, I'm just past the peak. And I had a coaching call a couple of weeks ago and I'm on Zoom with my coach and I hadn't met with her in a few weeks. And she's like asking me for updates. And I kind of give her an update and we're going through a coaching call. And about 10 or 15 minutes later, she was like, your energy is really off. Is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah. And then she asked me about something we've been talking about for months, right? And I said, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you that happened. I bought a waterfront home, first time in my entire life. I've never lived on the water. It is a lifelong dream. We bought a waterfront home. And I did this other career thing that that I've been talking about for months. She goes, wait, I am just learning about this 10 minutes into our call? And I said, yeah. And she said, how do you feel? I was like, I don't know. It's fine. It's good. She was like, And she just stopped and she stared at me on Zoom and she goes, have you ever heard of an upper limit problem? And I said, no, I've never heard of it. And she started explaining it to me and I just burst out into tears because I knew immediately that's what was going on is I didn't physically, like, I didn't have the capacity to accept that this was potential. This is my life. Even now it's hard for me to say it. I am still going to have, this is going to be a work in progress for me, but like accepting that your life can be that great. Like, I feel like I want to cry right now. Like accepting your life can be that great and that amazing is really hard. I am crying.
Yeah.
I'm crying. This is exactly how I was in my call because it seems really basic and it seems like, okay, upper limit problem, like whatever. I don't have limiting beliefs. I don't have whatever.
yes.
But when it actually comes down to accepting you can have a freaking amazing life in all aspects and you can set goals that are even higher and higher, it is a lot harder than you think.
As a leader, it can be lonely. You're ready to grow and you realize you need the right community to get you there. With Empire Circle, you'll be surrounded by driven, adventurous women who want more in business and in life. You'll get real-time feedback, personalized guidance, and honest advice from seasoned leaders who have built businesses and net worths in the hundreds of millions, all while living their big lives. If this sounds like the fuel you need to level up your business and your life, Empire Circle is absolutely for you. You can get more information at herbestlife.com by clicking on Empire Circle. Come and let's build your empire together.
It is, and I think too, Via, of how hard you have been pushing over the last several years to get there.
For sure.
That it's probably subconsciously conditioned you to think it always has to be that hard.
I think that's a huge part of it, Seychelle. I think there's a lot of listeners who probably resonate with that. Mm-hmm. I was talking to someone who a couple months ago, and he'd just been striving and struggling. That's the best way I can say it, his whole career. Really hard worker, really great guy. And recently he came into a ton of money. you know, just millions and millions. And we were talking and he's like, I think I need psychological help. I think I'm kind of effed up right now. And I was like, really? What do you mean? He said, I just going from this strive and this struggle for so many years to like all of a sudden it's here is screwing around with my head. And I don't know that I understood it. I didn't understand it. Honestly, I was like, well, there's this book called The Psychology of Money. You know, I said, you know, book, whatever. Because I don't think I understood it until now. And I'm not saying I'm not that person. By the way, like, newsflash, Via has not come into millions of dollars. Like, I, you know.
You're creating them. That didn't happen. You are creating them.
But my, it's the same thing, like it's this concept that you know, that, oh my gosh, like, I've hit my body, my nervous system, myself, whatever it is, you know, like, you have to ask yourself, like, you think you can set these big goals, right?
Yeah.
Can you actually live in that? You know, except it's kind of a wild concept. So we're going to walk through, how to know, you know, different signs that you've hit an upper limit problem and then what to do about it. And then I also think we're going to do some follow-up episodes on this, Seychelle. I think this is a concept and a topic that I've already found myself being a student of.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is one, too, that at different phases in your life, you're going to hit different ceilings in, that it's important to go back and revisit it, too. So walk through, like, what are some of the signs that you are hitting your upper limit on something? There's 7 of them. And so, you know, number one is that you hit the upper limit and all of a sudden, number one, you avoid taking risks. Number two, you can't slow down. Number three is you can't enjoy your successes due to fear and doubt. Man, have I had that.
I would add worry. I would add worry into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Due to fear, doubt, and worry.
Especially, I just want to stay on that one a minute. That's one of the most common ones. The thing with worry, you know, fear, doubt, worry, the thing about that is that often if you find yourself worrying about things that you can't control, and you're kind of like obsessing a little bit and staying on it. It doesn't necessarily make sense. That's often an upper limit sign when it's a little bit like a needless worry that doesn't really make sense. Cause like if you leave the house and you're like, did I lock my front door? Well, that's a pretty valid worry. Like you know, whatever. But if you're worried about things that are just kind of seem random or whatever, just check yourself. Check yourself and ask yourself if you're not creating some drama and what could potentially be an upper limit problem. All right.
I love that. Thank you. Yeah. And number four is you prevent change in wanting stability. Number five is you love your comfort zone, which I think a lot of humans, we are conditioned to be creatures of habit and creatures of comfort. You know, I think we think about, you know, just the world in general, you know, over 60-70% of humans are high S or high stability craving personalities. So that's a huge one. Number six is you feel uncomfortable with too many successes at once. Yes, I absolutely resonate with that. And then number seven is you get stressed and sick when you are experiencing rapid growth. And I mean, how many times have you had that happen? I know that's been a ton for me.
Well, you and I were talking about it before we recorded. What preceded my coaching call and like my big smack in the face aha a couple of weeks ago was that I was coming down from bronchitis. And I'm not saying, you know, it would be a stupid, foolish thing for me to say everybody who gets sick is hitting an upper limit problem. Like, that does not make sense. But I do look back. I look back at a time I lost 70 pounds and got in the best shape of my life. And I stayed there. I stayed there for a good solid year. Fitness became a lifestyle. I started making friends in that realm. And it was just, it was great. And in retrospect, what happened is, you know, I think if I'm looking back, you know, I sort of have been defined by having a weight struggle. You know, Via has weight struggles. Via talks about her weight struggles. Like, Via goes up and down. She's tried every diet, right? As a persona. And I look back and I was working out so hard that I think I probably triggered an injury that ultimately ended up in spinal surgery, and it knocked me out of, mm-hmm. you know, doing any type of exercise for about 3 months. Now, 3 months is not that long. I could have gotten right back on the saddle, so to speak, and, you know, back to my habits and whatever. Mm-hmm. And instead, I just slid back into ultimately gaining the weight back, not exercising at all, and, you know, actually getting more weight back. And in retrospect, I think that probably some element of that, maybe not all, but some of that was probably an upper limit problem for me, you know? And so I think that self-sabotage can come in the form of sickness and injury sometimes. Not always. I don't want to be careful with that. I really do. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, it can create kind of anytime. Self-sabotage is one of the biggest things we do when we hit all of these. And mm-hmm. so sometimes the self-sabotage, like I said earlier, can come in different aspects of our life. So mm-hmm. one thing someone can do is like, say I was, you know, in the best shape of my life, I'd lost all that weight, I might have sabotaged a relationship. Mm-hmm. Or I might have mm-hmm. done something, you know, financially or something. But something that knocks you off of this bliss or happiness or whatever the zone you're in, right? To get you back to normal because, you know, you're defined by the struggle or you're defined by, you know, I don't just, you know, Via doesn't just get things. She has to struggle for things or whatever that psychological thing is. Yeah.
Well, and you know, when we talk about these, we talk about the worry, criticism, and blame aspect of it, you know, and when we mm-hmm. criticize something, it usually doesn't have anything to do with actually what we're criticizing. You know, similarly, when we blame someone or something, we may be doing it because we've hit our upper limit and are actually trying to decelerate their positive and good feelings. How many times have we done that where we almost killed somebody else's joy, not even realizing that we were doing that because of our own projection or our own limiting beliefs? I think about people that have done that to me. I'm sure I've done that to others subconsciously. And saying, well, that can't happen, or that's not realistic, or that couldn't be the case, or that won't work. When really, you know, they're seeing a totally different side of something that could be amazing. You know, and a good way to conquer that fear is to, first of all, distinguish it from excitement. It's, you know, surprisingly easy to get those mixed up.
It is really easy, actually, to get fear and excitement mixed up. And what's interesting is that they actually are some of the similar, we feel similar things in our bodies, funny enough, with fear and excitement. And the difference is a lot of it is breath work. So I've heard fear described as excitement without the breath.
Ooh.
But so sometimes, by the way, side note, you know, check yourself. You know, are you feeling fear or excitement? You might be actually feeling excitement and not fear. And then you're just gonna stomp yourself on down to that to that comfort zone if you're not careful, right? Yeah. And so, you know, really learning what excitement feels like in your body and in, you know, what you think when you're excited, what you're feeling. You know, I just recently did this exercise, say, with this coaching group I'm in, the same coach that called me out on this. And it's you learn how to feel stress in your body. And so they actually bring you through this exercise that simulates stress. And I learned that when I'm feeling like my first level of stress, I feel it kind of upper chest. And then if it's going to go like a level down, it's going to be in my belly. And everyone in the group was slightly different. But I've learned that when I feel that chest, I'm like, oh, that's the beginning signs of stress. And when I feel it in my belly, I'm like, oh, I probably am feeling the stress for a little bit. So I need to pay attention to that. Well, you can do the same thing with fear and excitement. You can kind of learn how you feel them. Mm-hmm. And that can help.
I'm thinking about that. We're taking our first like longer vacation in a long time coming up in the next week. And I am feeling both fear and excitement. And I'm realizing that a lot of my fear is I'm excited to take this trip. And I think there's probably some self-sabotage of, is everything going to be okay? Are the clients going to be okay? Is the team going to be okay? Is something going to fall apart? Is there, you know, and you have all of these little emotions. Even though we've done this successfully before, there's still all of these emotions creeping in that are sabotaging what could be a much more exciting trip. So I'm really excited that we're recording this today because I need to be dealing with some of that before I leave in 5 days.
Well, let's use that trip for the next part of this podcast. Okay. That's a really, I think it's like a perfect example that probably everybody can relate to. Because now we're going to move into like, okay, you're aware of an upper limit problem. Maybe mm-hmm. you've recognized you've hit one, right? How do mm-hmm. we move past it? And by the way, I don't know that I'm good at this yet. So I think I want to preface
this. This is good. We're going to learn together. We're all learning together.
We're learning together. And like, we'll probably do follow-up episodes on it. But let's use your trip because I think everyone relates to that.
I'm in on that.
I don't know what we're certainly not psychologists, but I have a feeling there's something in there for both of us say, like, you know, mm-hmm. oh, like we have so many people relying on us. Like, do we deserve to go and mm-hmm. truly enjoy this for 3 weeks?
Yes.
Like, there's just some stuff stirring mm-hmm. up in there, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the very first thing to do, to kind of move through an upper limit problem is awareness, is to just be aware of it. Even just having this conversation, even that's mm-hmm. probably more than half. Even if, because mm-hmm. if we're aware of it, we can sort of figure out the how. You know, I don't think most of us were even aware of the what in this case, right?
Yeah.
So I think just being aware of how do you, what's going on in your brain? What's going on in your body? You know, mm-hmm. what's triggering it? You know,
my upper digestion and my upper back are like so tight right now, getting ready to take this trip. And it is the feeling of responsibility for our team that I adore them. I think they're amazing humans. As their leader, I feel incredibly responsible for, being a great steward of our business and contributing at a really big level. And I also feel this like opposite side of the coin, which is if I'm not living a big life and not taking time for my family, then why in the world should I encourage them to do that? And so it feels hypocritical to be feeling both of these emotions at the same time, which is probably part of what's adding to the stress, is like wanting to take it and not feel anything, but also feeling the sense of obligation to making sure everything's great at home too.
Okay, I love that. So that's perfect. That's perfect because it leads us into the second step, which is that we have to work on increasing our capacity to enjoy success or love or abundance or good health or whatever.
We have to
work. I know. We have to work on continually increasing our capacity. So let's talk about what you just said and use that as an example. You know, one of the ways that I think we can do that is we can change the stories we're telling each other in our head. And you just naturally, I think, like went into a great way to do it. You're like, look, I'm going to focus on the fact that, darn it, I preach this and I need to live it.
I do. Yeah. And I'm a hypocrite if I don't.
Exactly.
And then I feel guilty about feeling guilty.
You stay with. Well, I think that, you know, what I've been reading and learning about, right, is noticing those thoughts and those feelings mm-hmm. and acknowledging them, staying mm-hmm. with them, you know, sitting in them a minute and just kind of going, huh, okay, I feel guilty because X, right?
Yep.
And not resisting them, just acknowledging them.
And you know what else, too, on the awareness and like, you know, moving through this is, I was really good about taking time for our family and our own time pre-COVID. And then COVID hit and I admitted this a couple weeks ago when we were recording, like I wiped my entire calendar of all the fun. Like it all went into all the work obligations went on my calendar. All the fun got scrapped. The summer camps, the travel, the couples trips, the date nights, everything just got scrapped because it was like we didn't know what was going to happen. And you know what I didn't do was I didn't build that muscle back up slowly to like put it back in my life slowly. And so now what I'm doing is like, I'm picking up like, you know, huge, you know, like racks of weights and throwing them on my shoulders to say, screw it, forget it. We're leaving for 3 weeks. Like that feels like I just put 300 pounds to squat when I haven't been doing 50s. And it's necessary. It's necessary and we need to do it and we deserve it. And it's good. And I think I have not been working this muscle. This is not a muscle I've been working. We've just had our head down and have been really working.
So I think that's perfect. And I think that, you know, when we move into, you know, kind of the third, you know, step in this, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's to just consciously work on allowing yourself to make more room for success, happiness, you know, whatever, fill in the blank, right? Okay. And so, you know, the point is to recognize you've hit a peak. You've just hit a current peak of what you're allowing yourself to enjoy, you know, and then instead of, you know, pulling back into maybe some subconscious or even conscious self-sabotage or worry or fear, right? You need to just sit in it. You need to recognize it and you need to move forward anyway. And I think then we start working into, you know, what's the story I'm telling myself in order to increase capacity? So a few ways I think you can do that, say, is that you go, okay, what if I just allow myself to enjoy the preparation of the trip? Because I always think every trip is three trips. It's the pre-trip, prep, planning, excitement, anticipation. Okay. It's the trip itself, and then it's the memories. So I always think of trips in three parts. So you're like, okay, I'm just going to, what if I just, you know, I might hate the trip, whatever. What if I just allow myself to be like ecstatic about the prep? Okay. Right? What if I just say, I'm just going to allow myself right now to be excited.
Okay.
And then what if you got on your trip and you go, okay, I'm just going to allow myself to love this first day of travel. All the anticipation and excitement that brings, landing in a foreign country or foreign city, you know, the plane, first big plane ride of my kid, you know, whatever. What if I just sat? And then what if the next day you go, okay, I'm just going to allow myself to enjoy just day one, full day, waking up, having, you know, a great meal in my new city or whatever it is. And, you know, what if you just kind of went day to day and said, the time's going to pass anyway. I've left everyone anyway. What would it be like? Like, could it be an experiment where I allow myself to like just have the best trip of my life just today? You know, that's a hack where you're just kind of, you know, giving yourself a short, I think, time.
I love that. You know, and it also puts pressure on being present in the moment, which I also really love about that. Because sometimes when you think about the time of a 3-week, that feels like a really long period of time. And so chunking it down into smaller bits, I think that's brilliant. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I love that.
I mean, I think that this, you know, moving past it is going to be, you know, a lot of work. And it's not something we're going to be able to cover in a few minutes on a podcast episode. But I think that the idea is doing whatever it takes to move past it anyway, to be aware of it, understand it, you know, maybe journal out, you know, what's triggering it, what's happening, you know, whatever, and pushing past it anyway. I think that, you know, I think as we wrap, what I've been thinking about a lot is that, because I'm training for this marathon, I'm doing two marathons this year, and I'm basically going from couch to marathon in a very short period of time, I know. And I do find that it's really easy for me to thrive on this, you know, how much pain can I take? No pain, no gain. I do hard things, all the things, right? And I really do find myself, you know, thinking like, do I do the opposite? How much joyfulness, how much mindfulness, you know, can I handle? Can I handle more, you know, no happiness, no gain. Like I'm so pain and moving away from that and using kind of that as a motivator. I'm like, sheesh, like let's do the opposite. You know, let's sit in the great part of this. And, you know, are we really allowing ourselves to do that? You know, how is it how we're defining ourselves? Is it our, I don't know the reasons behind it, but so anyway.
I love this though. I think it's something that this is one of those that we're going to be doing the work on for quite some time. Yeah. And maybe if you're listening with us, you're on the journey. We'd love to hear maybe some of the things that you feel like you might have an upper limit on or that you're working through. We always love getting to do that together with you all. You know, and I think about just the subconscious mind that we're in, the awareness that we have, the actions that we take, the questions that we ask, and then the movement forward that we do in order to understand that our body, our emotions, and our brain can react differently when we uncover an upper limit problem and push through it. So, Via, thank you for bringing this today. I'm so thankful that you did. We worked through one of my own that's in 5 days. So, thank you for
that.
I've got some work to do.
I'm in process, and I think that it's great. The book itself is. I think Gay Hendricks, you know, brought up an incredible concept, and I'm really grateful for him to bring it up. I think that there's some articles and other things you could probably read. The book's good. It's called The Big Leap, but I think that it's more the concept that is, you know, mind-blowing. in my mind. What I do want to go into in some future episodes, he does a really great job of talking about finding your zone of genius and using that to help get past some things. So we'll do an episode on that in a while. But thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we will see you next Monday.
Have a great one. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.